Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Do we need to make the promise that there's no, absolutely no sophomore humor in the playbook today? No humor of any kind. It's all business. It's all fact. It's all football. That's the way you want it. That's the way you get it. Welcome into the playbook on hashtag Prediction Thursday on Patriots.com radio. Here's what we'll do for you right off the top. Coming up in 5 minutes, David Burkett, who covers the Lions for the Detroit Free Press. He's going to jump in with us, and we're going to find out why maybe the Detroit Lions are being soft-pedaled. Kind of in between there on the words. Soft-pedaled a bit by some others, especially in terms to coming into Foxborough and being a 7-point underdog. They are tied for first in their division, albeit the Patriots don't seem to have any trouble with teams from the AFC North. They might get a full dose of what used to be called the NFC North, NFC Norris, NFC Black and Blue division over the next 2 weeks with the Lions this week and playing at the Packers next week. We know how quickly things turned around over the course of the last 6 weeks from where they were over the first month of the season. First month of the season, you're ready to run up the surrender flag, right up the flagpole. And now it's kind of like, okay, who's going to stop them? We're going to find out exactly how the Lions could potentially stop the Patriots on Sunday here at Gillette Stadium. And again, Dave Burkett is going to join us. Hour number two of the program, the guru, Russell Baxter, will be in the playbook with us. Not only look at Patriots-Lions, but also go right through week 12 of the NFL season. Well, we talked about it yesterday. Some of you got your wish. Others of you are kind of, are you... Are you smoking what everybody else is smoking? LeGarrette Blount is back in New England. A day after being released by Pittsburgh because he kind of threw a tantrum or he walked out on his team. He left the field before the game was over. Decided he didn't want to do it anymore. Whined, whatever you want to call it. He's out of Pittsburgh. They cut him loose. Patriots inquired. Apparently, got the story that they wanted to hear from Pittsburgh that, nah, he's not really that bad a guy. And again, I'm just paraphrasing here. Not that bad a guy, but he really wasn't a great influence on any of our guys, especially on Le'Veon Bell. You know, Le'Veon was kind of hanging around with them a little too much, and we're trying to make the playoffs here. We need to focus on other things, and he wasn't going to figure any more prominently in our offense than he was presently. Read into that by saying, you know, we didn't really have any use for him. He was only becoming a negative influence. Hey, good luck to you if you want to sign him. And I can almost guarantee the reason that he was in here early today and he was out there, and they're just wrapping up practice now, all right? But he was out there practicing today. And the reason that he was out there at practice is simply because there was a conversation that had to have taken place between LeGarrette Blount and Bill Belichick. Can we operate under what we did last year? I'm not going to make any promises to you. Give you 2 years. Give you basic salary. We'll put some incentives in this thing for you if you get onto the field and you produce. But that's it. Jonas Gray is going to still be the guy. If you can operate under that scenario, we'll give you a chance to win a ring, what have you. We'll welcome you back. And I think LeGarrette Blount knows the deal with the Patriots. Otherwise, there's no way, no how, that New England would have signed him. Love to get your thoughts on LeGarrette Blount and whether or not you feel it's a good thing or a bad thing. And does he overtake, should he overtake Jonas Gray on the Patriots depth chart? Plus your predictions for this weekend's game against the Lions. Toll free, it's 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Find me on Twitter at JR Broadcaster, John.Rook on Facebook. take a couple of moments now to look at the Lions a little bit more closely. Dave Burkett covers the Lions for the Detroit Free Press. He's now in the playbook with us. David, John Rook here in Foxborough. Nice to have a chance to visit with you. Appreciate the time today.
Yeah, no problem. How you doing?
Excellent. So, you know, we kind of hear, you know, and again, this is just sort of layman stuff here right off the top. We kind of hear clearly Detroit's got a really solid defense. The numbers don't lie in this particular instance. They're number one defensively for a reason because they got a bunch of great guys in the front seven. However, the secondary might be lacking. Is that an overgeneralization, or is there some truth to that?
No, I think you're about right on. I mean, look, they're the number one defense in the NFL right now, and they're not awful in the back end by any means, but a lot of what they get done is because of the pressure they're able to put on quarterbacks and offenses from that defensive front, you know, and Ndamukong Suh in particular. He's having a really good year. He makes a lot of plays, and he frees up the linebackers, DeAndre Levy, Tahir Whitehead, those guys to make a lot of plays. So the back end, you know, they've had some vulnerabilities back there, but they are getting good safety play from Glover Quinn and James Ahedebo, a guy that you guys know out there. And you know, I think the way to beat them is to protect your quarterback and you know, get some big plays in the pass game, because most teams have not been able to run on that this year.
How much does Detroit blitz? Do they like to at all?
They do a little bit. You know, it's not a significant you know, amount. I mean, they're you know, much more, you know, they like to get things done with their four-man pass rush if they can. But James Darrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, is a guy that has definitely made that happen in the past. You know, he mixes coverages up. He mixes blitz up. He's not afraid to bring a safety when it warrants.
All right, so they're not afraid to bring the pressure, but they really haven't had to, because the front four and the linebackers have done a pretty adequate job to this point in time. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they definitely blitzed a little bit more than the old Lions teams did with Gunther Cunningham as the coordinator, Jim Schwartz as the head coach.
Right.
But, you know, Ndamukong Suh is a guy who always, you know, occupies two defenders, I mean, virtually every play. And, you know, that frees up a lot of one-on-ones for Ziggy Ansah, for some of those other guys up front. And if the Lions can get away, especially against a quarterback like Tom Brady, you know, who's picked apart a lot of defenses in these days, it's just even those four guys, I'm sure they would.
Sure, it seems like it. So the challenge at hand, then, at least from this aspect, seems to be on the Patriots' offensive line, trying to neutralize a guy like Ndamukong Suh as best as they can. And with some of the problems that this offensive line has had over the course of the year, and they seem to have straightened things out a bit over the course of the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, I suppose, that seems to be, it's got to be priority one for New England, and I'm sure that's still got to be priority one for Detroit. Put pressure on Tom Brady, give him a case of happy feet, make him rush into his decisions, perhaps before receivers can find themselves open. How does that treat you for an assessment?
Well, it's without a doubt. I mean, look, I know it's a preseason game and nobody, you know, puts any stock into it, but some of the players that are still on this defense were on the defense when the Lions played the Patriots a couple of years ago in the preseason. And Ndamukong Suh kind of mentioned it the other day when he said he likes to play against Tom Brady. You know, he played against him once in the regular season as a rookie in that time, and that's what the Lions did that game. They put a lot of pressure on Brady then, hit him a whole bunch, got a lot of pressure from their interior line. And again, you know, not that anybody is putting in any stock into that performance, but at least they know that you know, you do have to hit Brady if you're going to be successful.
Absolutely. All right, so that kind of at least sets the table for what the matchup looks like. Now, here's the matchup on the other side of the ball. We know Matthew Stafford has the ability to wing it. We certainly know Calvin Johnson has the ability to go get it. We know that Golden Tate has had a tremendous year as well. What's the running back situation like? Is Reggie Bush healthy enough to be able to contribute the way that the Lions would like him to contribute?
No, I think this week, yeah, you know, he'll be back. He'll be in the playing rotation this week. You know, look, he's a guy that he's battled a whole lot of injuries this year, different ankle injuries, and that's really limited his effectiveness. But, you know, the Lions are still, they're a team that rotates back, so you're going to see a lot of Drake Bell, you're going to see Reggie Bush, you're going to see Theo Riddick in there. And Reggie is still, out of those guys, he's still the most explosive player. He just hasn't had any of those big runs this year. So he's going to be back on the field. I think he's going to have a normal, you know, I would expect at least that he's going to have a normal role on offense. And that means you're going to see him both in the pass game and the run game.
Dave, is there any added pressure on this offense to, I don't know, put more points up this week, because they've only, you know, cracked the 30 mark once? It was in the season opener. Haven't done that yet, knowing that the Patriots are capable of putting extra pressure on the defense. Was that talked about at all this week?
Oh, every day so far. I mean, that's the biggest thing that, you know, this team has prevailed this team so far is the offensive performance. You know, no touchdowns last week for the first time in a game since 2009. And really the offense has been struggling in part because of injuries, in part you know, maybe because of Matthew Stafford's play a little bit, in part because of the blocking up front. But and they know that, you know, playing against the NFL's second highest scoring offense this week, they can't afford to have another offensive funk like they did last week, really like they have the last month. You know, they need to get this thing jump started. Joe Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, said today that they're scaling back the playbook a little bit in hopes of, you know, maybe doing fewer things, but doing those fewer things better.
Interesting. How much pressure, added pressure, might be on a Detroit team that right now is tied for first place in their own division, but knowing that a misstep here could end up not boding, not being very well for them on down the line? Is there any talk about that at all?
Yeah, you know, look, I think, you know, this is a team that when you look at the rest of their schedule, Patriots this week, then they have three straight games against teams with, you know, sub-500 records. Then they go on the road for two at the end of the year at Chicago and at Green Bay. And mm-hmm. Not that the Bears are great, but those are outdoor games. Those are NFC North games, rivalry sort of games. So, you know, I think regardless of what happens this week, it's going to come down to those last 2 weeks for the Lions, whether they can, A, maybe get in the playoffs, or B, you know, hold off the Packers for the division race. And they haven't won a division since 1993. So any sort of bonus win that they could get this week, you know, I think that would go a long way towards helping them reach that goal.
Without a doubt. What then do you envision as the scenario for Detroit winning this football game? How do the Lions beat the Patriots?
I think it's a lot of, you know, getting after Brady, like we talked about earlier. You know, Ndamukong Suh, Ziggy Ansah, those guys need to hit him, you know, be physical with him, beat him up a little bit. You know, if they can do that, if they can make things tough on him, you know, I think that you know, the offense is not, but the Lions probably aren't going to be able to score, you know, 30 points. So they need to keep New England, I think, well below their average. If they can keep this game in the low 20s, I think that's a game that they can win in New England. But even then, they need to get better play out of the offense, because as good as the defense has played this year, that's really where they've struggled. So getting after the quarterback, protecting Matthew Stafford, freeing him up to take some shots with Calvin Johnson.
Absolutely. Would it surprise anybody from Detroit's sideline if Calvin Johnson found himself man-on-man with a guy like Darrelle Revis this weekend?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, that was something that Calvin talked a little bit about yesterday. Those guys, have, I think they battled twice in you know, their careers, once when Revis was with the Jets and Revis held Calvin to one catch. Last year, Revis was with Tampa Bay, and you know, he got hurt early in that game, had to leave that game, but Johnson ended up having a big game. So, look, I would expect that they're going to see a lot of each other this week. So, you know, it's kind of like last week when the Lions lost to the Cardinals. It was a good, you know, cornerback wide receiver matchup overall. Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, this week, you know, Revis, Browner, all those guys in the Patriots secondary, you know, I think they're going to see a lot of them.
All right, good stuff. Dave, thanks again for the time today. Safe travels this way, and hopefully you don't run into any of that snow along the way.
We're all right here so far, but I appreciate it, guys. We'll see you this weekend.
Thank you. You got it. That's Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press, who covers the Detroit Lions, to get us started off here in the playbook today. Nothing like good, hard football talk right off the start. Right, Kev? I mean, you know, none of this fancy stuff, bathroom humor. We're going right after it today. Getting right into the info. The stuff that you crave, the stuff that you need, that information that you just can't live without.
I'm the boss. Need the info.
Need the info. Absolutely. We're having fun at the expense of the other guys, just like they have fun at my expense as well. I heard those emails, by the way, earlier in the program. So that's fine. It's no big deal. I'm not offended. What it tells me is that people are listening. That's great. That's great. They do what they do. We do what we do here. You do what you do there. Hopefully, somehow, some way, we can all meet in the middle. We'll hold hands and have a big kumbaya. Does that work for you? Works for me. All right, what are your thoughts on the Lions then? Make your predictions known. Bring them on. Prediction Thursday is back in the saddle. No one won last week. We had someone miss by 1 point either way. 42-20 was the score. I believe we had someone predict 41-21. That's as close as we got last week. So the contest, as always, back on again today. Anybody that can correctly predict the score will win a Patriots Media Guide yearbook. but you got to play to win, as the saying goes. So you can do it several ways. The preferred way is Twitter, at JR Broadcaster, is where you'll send the tweet, because that way we can keep a little bit closer look and record of it and go back and double check and everything when you yell at us next week to say, I won, where's my dadgum book? Well, they don't say that to me. They say that to Kevin, usually, to say that to Kevin. But if you choose or you don't have Twitter, first of all, I'd say, well, where the heck you been? But if you don't, that's okay. That's fine. You can post it on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name. If you're not a friend, you can submit the request. It's my personal page. And then you can post, and we can chat during the programs. Or email webradio@patriots.com. But I warn you, it comes with a caveat. Sometimes they get deleted before the next week because it's an all-encompassing, I share that email inbox with the PFW boys. So, take your shot. Or you can just pick up the phone and call me. Old-fashioned, good old talk radio style. 855-PATS-500. And that number is good anywhere you are listening to us on the globe. 855-PATS-500. Prediction Thursday. Hashtag Prediction Thursday. I got a couple of thoughts. I really believe that the Patriots have the advantage in this game, largely because of the struggles right now of Detroit to generate any consistent offense. Watched most of that game last week, Arizona at Detroit, and the Lions had trouble moving on a very good Arizona defense. And Detroit's defense did an admirable job, really, of slowing down Arizona's offense, of course, minus Carson Palmer. Although Drew Stanton acquitted himself very well in the game, just neither team really came out blowing guns. It kind of tells me that I think the Patriots are going to score a little, especially since they have the home field advantage here. As long as the Patriots don't turn the ball over, as long as we don't get a couple of, ill-advised picks like Tom Brady had last week against Indianapolis. Let's face it. They were both mistakes. One was probably a bad play call. The other one was a bad audible. I'd have to say, and even Tom admitted as much in his postgame, words that he had following the win over the Colts. He's got to avoid those mistakes because Detroit has a defense that will really make you pay. The Colts didn't have a defense. They don't have a defense like that. The Lions do. Statistically, number one throughout. Statistically, number one. They're number one in total defense. They're number one in rush defense. And they've only given up the fifth most pass yards. Now, we say that they've got, maybe a weakness somewhere there in the secondary. But they're fifth in the NFL in pass defense. That's still more than just respectable. That's pretty doggone good. That just means, teams are, they can't run on Detroit. So what else are they going to do? They're going to try to pass on Detroit, and they're still not doing a very good job of it. And it's probably because of the pressure that they put on opposing offensive lines and opposing quarterbacks. So it's really clear to me that the key to this game is going to be keeping Brady's jersey dry. Keeping it clean. If they're going to create the pocket, he's got to be able to step up into it, and nobody, everybody's got to do their job. I mean, I realize that that's sort of the mantra around here. Do your job. That's exactly what has to take place on Sunday. If they give him enough time, he'll get rid of the ball. He'll find the guys, especially over the middle, that he needs to get to. I'd actually be very surprised if the Patriots can hit 30. I'll be very surprised against this Lions defense. As good as the Patriots offense has been, I'll be surprised. That being said, and you just heard, Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press say the same thing, the Lions need to keep this game in the low 20s to have a chance. I totally concur. They might even need to keep it in the teens to have a chance. Now, if the Lions are, if they force a couple of Brady or a couple of turnovers somewhere and they get a couple of easy scores out of it, then I think it's advantage Detroit, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, my caveat is, I think the Patriots can probably get somewhere in that 20 to 25 range without too much trouble. I don't know that Detroit can score that because I think the Patriots will definitely be ready. For both Megatron and Golden Tate at wideout, which means I think that they'll throw different looks in coverage, and I think their game plan will not be altogether unlike what we saw them throw out against both Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning over the last couple of weeks. I think you'll see different coverage looks. You'll see some man. You'll see some zone. You'll see some backers back there. You'll see some safeties in a linebacker spot. You're going to see a lot of different looks in hopes that they can cause Matthew Stafford to make the mistakes that he has shown in the last couple of weeks, especially he can make. Now, overall, this is a Detroit team that is 7-3, as we said, and tied for first place in the division. So they're not a slouchy team. They're not a bad team. But are they as good as they need to be to go on the road and beat a Patriot team that right now may be the class of the AFC? They weren't good enough to go on the road last week and beat Arizona, which has the best record overall in the NFL. They're probably going to have to get themselves in the 20-24 range to have a shot at beating the Patriots. And right now, if the Patriots can, again, like last week against the Colts, if they can force a turnover or two and get a short field and a couple of easy points against a very strong defense, New England should get this. What are your thoughts? Webradio at Patriots.com, 855-PATS-500. And that's where we find Tim in Philly to lead us off. Hey, Tim, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Tim.
How cold is it up there?
It's still cold. We're definitely right around the freezing mark today. But, you know, the guys were out in pads and shorts, believe it or not. You know, shells and shorts today out on the playing field. So they're getting used to the environment, and I think they're pretty much ready to roll.
That's good. That's good. All right, so predictions for me. And I wanted to talk about defense, too. I missed your show yesterday until, like, 8 o'clock at night when I could listen to it. But,
sure.
You know, Detroit's kind of one-trick pony on each side, I think. It's defensive line on defense, and then it's, you know, Megatron on offense.
Sure.
Matthew Stafford isn't – he's got a great arm, but he's not the most intelligent quarterback
right.
I've ever seen play in the NFL.
We have heard that on him, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And Belichick loves playing one-trick ponies. I mean, he's going to shut it down. He's going to probably let them run, you know, but they're not going to beat the Patriots running, hopefully. You know
well, that I have to think has got to be the game plan. It's going to have to be, all right, prove to us that you can shove it down our throats, because the Patriots have done a pretty good job, I think you'd have to say overall, about adjusting after Gerard Mayo went down for the year. And you know, Dante Hightower, I think, has been an unsung hero. We talk about the front four and how, you know, they've at least been able to contain the run. The one criticism we have, well, we'd love to see some more pressure on an opposing quarterback. Well, that's all fine and good, but I don't think I could go on enough about the way that Dante Hightower and Jamie Collins have done a good job of stuff in the middle. I think they've done an absolutely superb job in Mayo's absence.
Yeah, and you just gave a perfect segue into what I wanted to hear your comments on about defense. Is remember Sterling Sharp, what is it, like 94 or whatever, when he got injured and he was out, you know, he was out of the NFL after that. I think he took, like, tore his ACL, his knee was destroyed. And it was after that Brett Favre and the Packers became, you know, Super Bowl champs, became the Packers that we remember.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had commented back then that, you know, without that injury to Sterling Sharp, they might never have reached that, because after he was hurt, Favre had to reexamine everything he thought about offense. Because mm-hmm. before that, it was check down, oh, Sterling Sharp, boom, and he'd just throw to Sharp.
Right.
And it seems like now, maybe it's, and Gerard Mayo is one of the greatest athletes on the team, trust me. I'm not bad-mouthing him at all. But after his injury, after Chandler Jones' injury, I think the Pats, the coordinator, and Belichick had to sit down and re-examine the entire defense. Say, okay, we need to do things differently. And what you see now is Ninkovich is on fire. Before, it seemed like he was kind of contained, you know, on that strong side where Jones was coming up on the blind side and crushing people.
Sure.
And now you see Nink going after people play after play after play, getting personal fouls because the guy's going crazy back there. So what's your opinion on that? Can an injury to a key player, to a pro bowler, can that actually improve an overall scheme of a defense?
Well, I think, you know, you hope that it happens that way. But anytime you have, you know, a major injury like that, that you have to hope that someone can step up in the breach. And, you know, to step up in the way that, you know, and for instance, with the Patriots, the way Hightower and Collins have, was born out of necessity more than anything else. Now, it's great that they did that.
Yeah.
Had they not had to do that, then you'd probably still see, you know, more of the same. You'd hope that this defense would continue to come around and be better. It was struggling at the time, as you'll recall, that Mayo actually went down for the season. They were just barely out. I think it was early October, so they really hadn't gotten things together like we've seen over the course of the last month, really. Nevertheless, you know, sometimes that's the nature of the game, and that's where coaches and talent evaluators and you know, general managers and scouts, this is where they come into play, and they say, look, these guys that we need to, you know, fill out our roster, this guy's a good guy, this guy is hungry, this guy has, you know, been a captain, this guy, you know, has never won before, you know, and I heard a lot about this guy, and I had a chance to visit with this guy. I mean, they all rely on the relationships and their ability to network, and just like you probably do in just about every walk of life. But it's the Patriots have been able to have success for an extended period of time because, as I've said many times before, Tim, many times before, that their job evaluating isn't so much the frontline guys as it really is the depth. Because when you get to this point in time in a season, this is all about whose backups really are better. Almost as if it's sort of a weird exhibition season again. Because guys are going to get hurt. Other guys are going to, you know, have to come in, and they're going to have to play. And you hear all teams say, next man up, next man up. Well, that's fine and good, but who's got the best next man up? And the Patriots, the reason that they have set themselves apart from other teams is because they've done the due diligence on finding the best next men up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so they're
as much criticism as Belichick gets sometimes for draft choices. His defensive draft picks are right on.
Agreed with you. They've kind of done a mediocre to just okay job in terms of the top-notch guys. But when it comes to, you know, middle-range guys, and especially to free agents, I think these guys excel. And that's where it has really put them over the top. I mean, I can't name a year in the last, you know, half a dozen where a rookie free agent, undrafted free agent, hasn't made the club. You just, yep. I mean, somebody's breaking through. Somebody's breaking.
Connelly.
Yes, Dan Connelly was. Malcolm Butler did it, has done this year. And, you know, he's moved ahead now of a guy like Alfonso Dennard on the depth chart. So, you know, I'm just saying these guys, have a formula, and we like to rag on it. I like to rag on it. Fans like to complain about it, and they point to the track record, and these guys can't evaluate receivers, and these guys like to trade out of the first round and blah, blah, blah. Well, you make all kinds of arguments and you would not be wrong. But the bottom line is these guys are relevant. It's week 12 in the season. They're in first place. They've got the number one seed right now by the cojones in the AFC. And so what else is there to argue about? There's nothing to argue about. Now, the challenge is to keep going. Put blinders on it. I likened it earlier this week to being a thoroughbred. It's time to put the blinders on, not look at all the noise around you, but do nothing except stare down the finish line. That's all this team needs to do right now. Try to stay healthy. Know that these mistakes and know that these injuries are going to come, and when they do, be ready for it. They were very ready for the mistake, and I don't even want to say it's a mistake. They were very ready for the injury that was Gerard Mayo, and they have adapted. It took them a little while, but they've adapted.
Yeah, it's like you were asking a couple of weeks ago, like which team will beat the Patriots on the schedule.
Yep.
And somebody can. Green Bay is definitely on fire. I don't know how long that'll last.
Well, Green Bay is going to be really, really tough next week. And when we get to it, and we'll have a chance to talk about it next Tuesday and Wednesday before the holiday. But honestly, you know, I hope that these guys, and I don't think these guys are overlooking Detroit, because Detroit is tied for first with Green Bay in that division. And, and this is a money game. You just heard, you know, our friend Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press say that, you know, hey, this is a bonus game. They don't really expect to get this, but if they get this, man, are the Lions in good shape? And so, you know, that's what you want to make sure that they don't get it. because this isn't a life or death situation really for the Lions. And it could be for the Patriots if you lose the opportunity to, you know, retain control of your own destiny in the AFC. They still have that destiny right now over, you know, both Denver and Kansas City. But really, it's a two-game lead over Denver. It's only a one-game lead over Kansas City because Kansas City whacked them earlier.
Right.
So you don't want to take a misstep if you can avoid it. So you got to take care of business.
And if anybody can do it, really, it's the Patriots since Belichick took over. I mean, they've done it before. What was it, in 3-4? When was that, where they had however many games they won in a row? It was 20-something games in a row or something.
Yep. And they've
done it before.
Right. I started hearing from some folks yesterday about, you know, hey, well, what do we do, you know, for the last couple of games of the year? Are we going to sit Gronk? And I'm like, come on. Really? Are we going to get into that now? It's kind of like talking playoffs when we're back in September. I mean, that's useless. It's ridiculous. You're just flapping gums. Come back to me when it's time to do that. You know, and right now I would stick with the old mantra. Football players play football. It's that simple. And you gotta win games. Let's borrow the phrase that, you know, has been bouncing around the stadium this week. Nobody won anything around these parts with 8 wins. And nobody's going to win anything this year with 8 wins unless, of course, you happen to reside in the AFC South, NFC South. And that's not where the Patriots are. They're not in the NFC South. So unless you're Atlanta or Nollins, it ain't happening with 8 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to go out and keep, you know, pushing the pedal to the metal and challenge this strong defense and game plan for them. And this team, as young as it really is compared to the last couple of years, the younger guys on this team have begun to catch on to the quote unquote Patriot way. Sometimes I kind of cringe when I use that statement, but I think the Patriot way encompasses much more than just winning. It encompasses a lot of different facets of winning. And this is one of them. Understanding that everybody has their own job to do. And the guys are catching on. And that's also why guys like Darrell Revis want to come play here, and why LeGarrette Blount wanted to come back here.
Exactly. Yeah, I understand he took like veteran minimum for 2 years.
That's it.
So he could get back here.
Correct. That's exactly right.
He wants to be in that locker room more than he wants to get paid, you know?
I think that's part of it. He wants to get a place where he already felt comfortable. I just hope and I expect that it was taken care of beforehand, as I mentioned earlier in the show today, that, you know, they had the conversation like, all right, LeGarrette, you're not our number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to have to fall in line here. You're going to help us out. But, you know, we don't have a lot of depth there that we'd like to have. You are our insurance policy. Understand that from the get-go. If you understand that from the get-go, we won't have a problem.
Yeah.
And I feel quite certain that conversation is taking place.
Yeah, the most I see is this week, probably nothing. The way Belichick usually works, you won't see him this week. But if you do, it's just going to be returning kickoffs like he did last year.
I think you could see that
really well.
Tim, I absolutely think you could see that. I think you could see that this week. It wouldn't shock me to see him get a couple of carries because, I mean, he is in game shape. He just didn't play. He just didn't play last week, and that's why he pouted and stormed off the field before the game was over with the Steelers. So,
yeah, and
you know,
they're blocking scheme, so he can be in there.
I got
third down.
I got no doubt about that. I think he could probably catch up about as quickly as anybody. So, you know, you might see him. You might see him get some carries, and I think the fans will largely be in approval.
Oh, they'll go crazy!
Yeah,
I'm most excited because after his playoff game last year against the Colts, that I got that, you know, Sports Illustrated cover, the glossy one you can buy for some unbelievable price.
Yeah.
The blunt force trauma.
Yeah.
So I bought that thing, and then it was like a month later. He
was gone.
Leaving.
Well, now you're going to have him for a couple of years.
Yeah. I can hang it back up.
There you go.
All right. Well, Tim,
did you have a prediction for the game? What's your score?
I think they'll break the 30s somewhere, you know, 35, and Detroit will be lucky. It'll probably be similar to the Jets game, I think. So I'll give it 35-24.
35-24, says Tim in Philly. Good stuff, Tim. Great phone call. Thank you for the info and for your own insight. Here's Ivan in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ivan, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, what's up?
How are you?
Hey, John, I've got one question for you. Before I give you my prediction, I've got one question for you.
Go.
All right, about Gerard Mayo, he's been injured the last 2 years. I wonder, do you think it's time probably like to move on from Mayo?
No, I don't think they'll move on. I wouldn't be surprised to not really ever see him be as prominent as he has been in the last couple of years again, because now he looks to be, unfortunately, you know, he's going to have that moniker injury prone attached to his name. That may or may not be a fair thing to say, but the fact is that he's been hurt now and has missed significant time each of the last 2 years. I don't think that they'll be willing to move on because they like his professionalism and they like his leadership and they do still like his ability, but he's got to be able to somehow stay on the field.
So what do you think, like, next year, he doesn't play every down, like, we limit his role to preserve him for later in the season?
You might see them, you know, sub him off in obvious passing downs when they go to, their nickel and dime packages. I think that they did some of that anyway, not a lot of it, but some of it anyway. You might see them say, all right, hey, Gerard, we want to keep you for a little longer here, so here's what we're going to do. You're our first and second down guy, but then you have to designate somebody else potentially as the signal caller. Because I don't think you want to change signal callers in the middle of the same series. So that's one of the reasons, that's one of the main reasons why he's been on the field for every down. Because he's the one wearing the green dot on the helmet. These are all organizational things that'll have to be discussed in the offseason.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm a fan of Gerard Mayo, but I was just thinking, I don't know what his contract looked like, but I was thinking maybe we, like, give him a pay cut, but, you know, if he's not willing to take a pay cut, you know, I can use that money for a younger linebacker.
Well, you know, I don't have a contract info in front of me either right now, Ivan, but I will tell you that I know that those that have the ability to stay up with that, will be making those decisions, and if they haven't already begun to formulate those decisions and the game plan of what they want to do, because, you know, they've got capologists and they've got the business people already working on this stuff, and I'm sure that it'll be more directly addressed once the season is over, but they'll take care of it. Certainly, I think you can say that, you know, without too much trepidation, that they'll look at the linebacker spot very, very carefully in the offseason because they know they're going to need, you know, some help. Now, keep in mind that, you know, they go out and they get, you know, Casillas from Tampa, and they went and got, you know, Akeem Ayers, who's been playing, you know, the defensive end slot. And I guess, you know, you could have the discussion of whether or not Ayers could actually help you in your depth on the linebacking core as well, depending upon how the Patriots are lining up on defense. So, again, discussions for another day.
All right, so I'm going to get to my prediction for this game.
Yep.
I know that the D-line is good for the Lions, but I still think they're secondary weak, so I'm going to say 5 touchdowns for us. But I think I'm going to say we get 1 defensive touchdown this game. So, 4 touchdowns for the offense, 1 for the defense. So, I'm going to say 35 points for us, and I'll say get the Lions 23 points.
35-23?
Yes.
All right. So, we've got a 35-24 and a 35-23 already. So you're going to take.
Remember, I got one touchdown coming on defense.
And 1 touchdown coming on defense. We'll use that as the tiebreaker. How's that, Ivan?
All right.
Good stuff, man.
All right, John. Thanks. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, nice talking to you, too. Thank you for the phone call. All right, so there you go. See, we're kind of off and we're kind of running here, and we want to know what you think. It's hashtag Prediction Thursday in the playbook. The Patriots are about a touchdown favorite at home, and I've already got 2 that think the Patriots are going to roll. Anybody else out there think that Detroit's liable to give them a game? And what are your thoughts on LeGarrette Blount? Are you happy to see him back? Those of you that weren't necessarily sold on his being back, have you changed your tune because of the Patriots bringing him back? Or do you still see, I'm not so sure that's a great idea? Well, I'd really like to hear from you today. 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook, Facebook. Oh, come on, computer, don't let me down. Oh, goodness. Hang on. 2 seconds. 1 and... Okay, that's in a language that I don't know. That looks like that's Italian. I don't think it's a prediction. I don't see any numbers down there. Oh, goodness. Wow. All right. We got to get through a lot of the spam that's crept its way through here. So, Kev, let's take a break and then let's come back and let's continue with the phone calls. 855-PATS-500. We're getting spammed to death today. One's in Italian. Another one looks like it's in Russian. And then there's another one here that I think is Korean. And then there's some Spanish. So I don't know where this is coming from today, but it's all over the place. Lovely. I guess we're popular all over the globe, you know? That has to be it. Yeah. That's it. Definitely. Web radio at patriots.com. Spam or no spam. Bring it in the playbook.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more.
Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Inside the playbook on hashtag Prediction Thursday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. Let's get to some of the score predictions again as well. Robert on Twitter at JR Broadcaster. Patriots win a defensive fight 24-17. Jeff says Patriots win 28-20. Prashant says I predict Patriots win this game 34-24. Do you think Blount will be a part of the final 46-man roster. Yes, I do. I think they'll activate him. Just a prediction. This one comes from Randy from New Orleans. My prediction is 45-17. Woo-hoo! I believe that we have a lot of weapons, not including Gronk, that can hurt Detroit. Chanel says 38-17 Patriots. Johnson will be irrelevant in Revis Island. The rest of the defense will bend, but not break. Benjamin says 33-26 Pats. Brian says 24-21, Pats. Ed says, howdy. That's from Ed in Vermont, by the way. Howdy. How about Patriots 27, Lions 16? Okay. That's kind of where I'm real close to that, Ed. I'm real close to that 27-16 kind of area right now. I'm not sure it'll be double digits. I might give the Lions a little more credit. Honestly, I hadn't really given it much thought until I started going through some of the scores myself. What am I feeling here? I told you already that I'd be surprised if the Patriots hit 30. So 27 would definitely be shy of that. Jose says, the Blount signing is to give the team depth. I like it. And for this game, I think the Pats will win 23-17. Hashtag Prediction Thursday. Yeah. Jose, I'm kind of right there with you on that one, too. You know, I really wanted to go 24-17, but I'll tell you, I'm not going to do that because when I predicted 24-17 last year, I believe that was our winning score. The 1 week we gave away like, what, 5 books, Kev? So, and I'm not sure. I got to go more often than not. And I know Robert predicted 24-17. I just read his pick, that came over Twitter, but I really think more often than not, it's the odd score rather than the more traditional score that has had success here in the past over the last few years. Even though it was a traditional score that actually won last year, and it was only 1 week that everybody picked it. But it was only really the 1 week where that was the end result. Kind of weird how it works out there, huh? All right, Eldridge in North Carolina, you're in the playbook. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John, how you doing today, man?
Great, buddy.
I'm doing good, too. I'm glad we did get LeGarrette back. And you know what? He's in game shape. They might let him run a little bit more than just a couple times. You know what I mean?
They might.
Especially when you walk through in the run.
They might.
Give Jonas, you know, a blow every now and then.
Yep.
But I'm thinking it'll be close to what everybody thinks. Because everybody, it seems like most of the fans don't think about that front seven of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sue by itself is a handful. You know what I mean?
No question.
And Brad Crawley out.
Yep.
Know, but they still got depth. They still got help.
Mm-hmm.
And they held Aaron Rodgers in them for a little bit, you know. And I'm thinking it's going to be 27-24, to be honest with you.
27-24, huh?
Last-minute field goal.
Okay. Ooh. So you're really going close with this, huh, Eldridge?
Yes, sir, because everybody keeps thinking Stratford. He is erratic. And what everybody keeps forgetting, he didn't have Megatron for a while.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
And Golden Tate, the two wide receivers, then Bell, then, you know, Bush until Bush got hurt.
But now they got everybody back.
Bush back too?
Yeah, he's supposed to be.
Oh well.
See? Well, so see now you realize that your pick may be more closer to reality than you thought.
Yes, sir. See, the, you know, I know we did pretty good. We did good the last couple outings and stuff, you know. But Megatron ain't like Jeffries or Marshall or like DT. Mm-hmm. Megatron is Megatron. And I don't see Megatron with three guys on him. He's still coming for touchdowns. I mean, front, back, and side. So, he's, you know, that's what I'm looking at also. And they didn't have Golden Tate. Now they got Golden Tate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. And Arrington did pretty good with T.Y. Hilton. But a couple of times, Arrington was burnt. You know, and it looked like me and McCoy was late getting over there, but they didn't have a chance to throw it to him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I did notice that there were a couple occasions where the safety help didn't seem to be where maybe he should have been. Yeah.
Right.
But you know what? Not every play is going to run 100% to perfection either. You just hope that when mistakes are made that they don't hurt you, you know, going over the top. And, you know, it's pretty obvious to me, Eldridge, that a guy like Calvin Johnson is going to be able to hurt you if they get in position to do that. That's what worries me the most. And I mean, the guy's an unbelievable talent. I personally am looking forward to seeing a little head to head with him and Revis, because you know that's what everybody, you know, that's going to be watching that game on Sunday. That's what everybody's going to be looking for. They want to see those two guys battle because they arguably are two of the best at their position in the NFL.
Yes, I'm going to see that one, too. I'm going to sit there, have my little popcorn ready. You know, I'm just going to have it there. But, John, you have a good one, man. I got to get this load.
Thanks, Eldridge. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, don't hurt yourself on that load. Here's Sam in Ontario. Sam, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how are you today?
Good, Sam.
Well, LeGarrette Blount, I like it, especially the way the Patriots have been playing lately, up with the lead, going in the fourth quarter. I think you need that thumper in the fourth quarter, run out the clock, just like they did with him last year.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And I think, you know, it's not going to be a close thing. I don't think they hit 30. I think it's going to be about 28-10 game.
28-10? So you don't think the Lions? Yeah, you don't think the Lions are going to score at all, huh?
Matthew Stafford. He's just not. He's never won these big games. He's an indoor type of guy. They come into Foxborough. You know, I don't think he's ever seen a place like this. So,
well, you know, there is some familiarity, although they hadn't played up here, you know, when the weather could be, you know, brutally cold. You know, I can't imagine, you know, that it's going to be that big of a deal, but okay, I can understand, you know, why you might think the way you do, because, you know, he plays in a dome right now, and, you know, so that's fine. That's okay. They've got all their weapons back. They really haven't had a chance now to put everybody healthy on the field, that they ideally want on the field altogether, the last few weeks. So that's why I'm really intrigued by this. And this is why I don't think you can soft sell, and soft pedal on the Lions. I think that they'll be able to score a little bit. I just hope that, you know, if the Patriots can keep them under 20, and I think the Patriots are in good shape. That's really, kind of where I think the whole line of demarcation is going to come about.
Yeah, I think Belichick's got something in mind for him. They're going to keep everything back. They're not going to let the big play hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Stafford throws a couple picks. You know, we run the ball. Everybody thinks you can't run on this team. I think we're going to run it. And we're going to come up with a victory.
Okay.
And that's what I got.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate that. Andy in Vermont is up next in the playbook. Hey, Andy.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Haven't been on in about 2 weeks, but I got to get on there when something's great's happening, like LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny, and I just saw an email. I'll read it here in a little bit, but before LeGarrette Blount came this way, and we talked about this actually on yesterday's show, and I think one of the questions was, you know, we were talking about how, you know, LeGarrette Blount could be made available because he walked off the field from the Steelers, and if they do cut him, would you pick him up? And It wasn't overwhelming, but the majority of the people said, nah, I think I'd leave him alone. We have Jonas Gray, without realizing that, you know, you just can't have enough thump in the backfield, especially when it comes to, you know, playing in December and potentially hosting games in January. And I knew when he got cut, I knew there would be a conversation. And the conversation quickly manifested itself to where he's out on the practice field with the Patriots today. So I'm not surprised to see a lot of people come over to the dark side that quickly.
Well, it's, I think, you know, last year when LeGarrette was in his really coming into his own on the team. It was about this time, December, when he was really pouring it on, and the Patriots were giving him more snaps and everything. And he, like Jonas, which you know I'm really big on Jonas. I was way before what he did last week, which was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It shows how much having that six-man front helped out. And I've been saying from the beginning of the season, that six-man front, setting the tone, five-man defensive front, setting the tone. I would like to see, a split. I definitely think Green being more of a flex guy playing either is great, which a lot of teams don't have. I think Devlin on there. The Patriots never really ran with a really true fullback, and I think James Devlin's that guy. I would like to see, Skinner play again. I'd like to see Fleming off another linebacker play again on the active roster. And I, because we all cringe when we see guys getting hurt. I'm hoping maybe Salika comes back this week. He's in practice.
Well, he was in practice yesterday. He was not there today. So okay. I'm not entirely certain that that's going to happen. We'll have to check the injury report after today.
Well, they just released Casey.
Yes, they did.
Which I thought he was doing well. So I thought maybe that was an indicator that Silver was coming back.
Well, no, they dropped Casey because they had to make room for Blunt.
Well, okay, so temporarily putting Jones today on the injured list, but to come back in the playoffs if he does come back, and they have bite. I didn't know how the actual is working.
Yeah, they put Jones on IR, they only get one designation to come back, and they've already used that with Salinga. So
yeah.
if they decide no on Chandler Jones, then you know what? Then he's done. And I think that's part of the reason why we just haven't heard from him because of him at all, because I think they're just hoping among hope that they can get him back either for sometime in December or perhaps even in January. But we really don't know. I'd have to say right now it doesn't look good to get Chandler Jones back because we've heard nothing. Absolutely nothing. And they know that if they IR him, he's gone for the year. So I think they're hoping that still they can get him back, but I'd have to say it doesn't look good. If Walker clears waivers, then, and again, there's 24 hours, so it won't be until probably this time tomorrow or thereabouts. Then there's no question he gets put back on the practice squad because they'll put him right there in case, they have to IR Chandler or whatever they end up doing, and then he'll work his way back into the mix. So it's just procedural stuff is all.
Yeah. I really think, with this game coming up, I think Browner would be a better matchup against, Calvin Johnson. I think they're going to be similar speed. Counter is quite as quick. I think Revis on somebody else, one of the other wide receivers or something would be great. That's my two cents on that.
Okay. But, all right, what's your score?
Well, I'm going to say Patriots in the 30s. I'm going to say probably Detroit in the high teens. And another thought was if J.J. Watt can play tight end, Gronkowski can play defensive end.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see that happen. All right, so pick an exact score then, Andy. No more waffling. Get off the fence.
Today, Junior.
I'm going to say, we'll say 38-20.
Okay, 38-20 it is. You're in the books, Andy, 38-20.
Thank you.
And if it turns out that way, you'll be very, very happy next week. I have no doubt about that. A couple of other tweets have come in here. Pat says, John, Pat's throwback to 2010 beat the Lions 45-24, although he spelled it loins. So you're going to beat the Loins 45-24.
Like that old commercial where the guy's painting the end zone at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, that looks great, but who are the chefs?
That's right. I forgot about that.
I think it was a Snickers commercial.
Yeah, it was. Who are the chefs? Here, have a Snickers.
Oh, that looks great, but who are the chefs?
Who are the chefs? That's true. Diego says Sue is going to destroy our line, but Megatron will take advantage when Bill puts Revis in zone. Pats will look mortal. 23-21 home win. Wow. Well, you're all over the Lions here, but you're not going to give them a chance to win it. So he says 23-21 on that one. Let's get a few Facebook posts in here. Kareem says, with all respect to the Lions defense, this is our house. If they have Megatron, Optimus Prime, 48-24 Patriots. Dante says, on your show, you guys said Brandon LaFell didn't have a big impact against the Broncos, but I remember him blowing the top off the defense twice. Brady just barely missed him both times. That is true, Dante. And he says Patriots win 35-17. Tim in Pennsylvania, Pats win 37-21. 37-21. Benjamin says a bunch of different ones here. Megatron hasn't been Megatron all year. More of a bumblebee transformer than anything else. All right. Hoping you've seen the movie so you understand the reference there. Yes, I know he's been hurt. That's exactly why I feel the way I do now. Healthy doesn't mean in sync. Pats are in sync. And he's going to say, I think, where's your score here? 33-26, Pats, says Benjamin. Cody says, John, I think the Pats are going to keep on rolling. 49-17. Woo! Cody's in Nova Scotia. Chris has this one. Since week four loss, every game has been considered a challenge. A laugh out loud, we got this. We've played good fronts, good defenses. I see this game 42-17. A home game against a subpar Lions team. They haven't really done anything on the road against good teams. If the Cardinals can shut down Calvin Johnson and Tate, then I see Browner and Revis and the Pats shutting down the Lions. Well, that may very well be the case, but that's a big question of if. If they shut down those guys, if they shut down those guys, then maybe they can somehow do it. What are your thoughts? Keep them coming. 855-PATS-500, web radio, at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. It's time now to get a little scout help.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54. Sweat Lodge 12, are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Good afternoon, Mr. Baxter. I got to hit the right button.
Oh, you're doing just fine. How are you?
Sometimes I hit the wrong button. I hit a button, and I'm like, okay, talk now. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I got to bring him on.
You're like Fred when sometimes he means to drop the caller, and he mutes himself instead.
And so the caller stays on.
So the caller stays on, and Fred, the host usually doesn't drop himself in radio.
Why don't you tell me what movie you'd like to see?
I'd like to see a lot of movies right now. How are you? How are you, Russell?
I'm good. By the way, I like the new Abby on your Twitter account.
Oh, you like that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I decided to sort of be a little bit more consistent. You know, I've had the whole, deer in the headlights look, so to speak, over the last few years. And then I just decided, I think I should be consistent with my, try to create a little synergy with the Facebook page. And that's the same photo. And I'll give credit where credit is due. My boy, David Silverman, who's one of the official Patriots photographers. He did some nice shots of me, maybe about a year ago, not quite a year ago. I think it was last spring, in fact. And, I said, all right, let's put one of, Big Dave Silverman's photos in the avatar there. So that's what I'm going with. Makes me look important.
I have two different shots of on my own. I have the one where, the kind of the casual shot, and then of course the one on a couple of my pages being consistent where I have that Socrates look, that philosophical thing and so on. But I have to tell you, John, I have strict orders next week that I'm not allowed to do your show.
Oh, let me guess. This has got to have something to do with Turkey Day and family and
Well, actually, I'm doing something a little different this year. I'm going down to see my best friend. And I'm taking my daughter, and obviously my wife as well. We're going to go see the sights in Washington, D.C.
Hey, that's great. Good for you.
My daughter is kind of a little history buff, so we're going to be going to the Capitol and the memorials and
good for
and
you
stuff on Wednesday. It's going to be fun. And just so I can give you an idea of what a history buff history buff my daughter is,
mm-hmm.
I took her down to Philadelphia to see Independence Hall.
Right.
And then, of course, we went to see the Liberty Bell in the spring. And fabulous experience. I mean, I was born in Philadelphia. You know, the Liberty Bell setup is so much different than it was when I saw it when it was a kid. But I couldn't help but take the opportunity of taking a picture of Helen in front of the Liberty Bell and then putting the simple caption of it on it saying, I told Helen not to touch. Now it's broken.
Exactly. That's a good one. Well, you guys all have a blast. You know, how old is Helen?
7, but she'll be 23 next week.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, 7 yeah. Going on 23 sounds about right.
I already know what I'm in for. I already made your copy of the car keys.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I won't be needed much longer.
No, and then, of course, after the car keys will come a very large stick for Dad to scare guys away with.
Oh.
Get ready for that. That'll happen soon. She probably doesn't. She's probably not at the age yet where, you know, boys are really too much of a distraction. Boys are probably still icky. But that'll change in about the next 3 to 4 years, if not sooner.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ask that scout ranger to help me out with that when we get to it. So.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What can I help you with?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, stay the heck away from my daughter. That's what you can help me with. All right. Well, you guys all have a blast. I know we'll catch up again in a couple of weeks, but that's what holiday's supposed to be for. So I'm glad you guys are able to do that. Let's get it rolling then with tonight's game, the Thursday night game, and the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, against the Raiders. It was only because we've been talking about misspellings today and several references today to the Detroit Loins. And so Kevin came up with a great one. Hey, do you remember, I think it was a Snickers commercial where the guy said, hey, that looks really good, painting the Chiefs logo on the end zone. He said, but who are the chefs?
Oh, yeah, that was one. I think that was one of the first, I'm trying to remember what the tagline was. Remember the Buffalo Bills did one of those commercials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, going to be here a while or something like that.
Yeah. I think they are going to be there a while, by the way. Yeah. We can talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, if they can get there.
Everybody's making such a – it is a big deal about what's going on here, but people are kind of like, oh, my goodness, they might move the game to Tuesday. I mean, like we didn't see that 4 or 5 years ago in Philadelphia.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And, hey, look at it this way. It's another night to watch football.
Yeah, I'm really upset about that.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I mean, come on, people. It is Thanksgiving week. What are we supposed to do? Eat turkey? Watch football!
Hey, as you know, when they moved, I want to say it was about 7 or 8 years ago now, how long were people clamoring for that third game on Thanksgiving?
Right.
For a long time, it was just the two games. Now we get the third game, and
right.
What a triple header this year. All divisional games and all huge.
Yeah, no question. No question. It's all good. So the Chiefs and the Raiders tonight, is there anything for the Chiefs to worry about in the black hole?
Well, the Chiefs have the right recipe going these days. Ha, ha, ha.
Very good.
And that's Jamal Charles and a defense that has been a little relentless, to say the least. This could be one of the big funny stats of the year. The Raiders have 10 sacks this year as a team. Justin Houston for the Chiefs has 12.
I think that's great. That's a good
one.
Yeah,
and, if you think about what the Raiders did in the offseason, besides changing the quarterback and bringing in James Jones in the receiving core and so on, Maurice Jones-Drew as a backup running back, the main focus of their free agency moves and their first-round pick with Khalil Mack was to help the defense. Increase the pass rush, get better against the run. Well, none of that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
We just mentioned only 10 sacks in 10 games. They have 8 takeaways. Now, the Chiefs only have 8 takeaways as well, but they have something like 30 sacks. So they can flip the script on you real, real quick. But I remember Jamal Charles last year in the two games against the Raiders. I believe he had 7 touchdowns. And he had 4 receiving touchdowns in one game in the game in Oakland
mm-hmm.
last year. I mean, you look at the way Kansas City is playing right now, and I find it hard to believe, you know, and while this used to be a quote unquote rivalry game a long time ago, you know, it's not like the Raiders don't try. They're just severely undermanned. And, you know, I think Kansas City now feels that they can win the AFC West.
I think they probably could.
After the Tennessee in week one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking something like 33-14 Kansas City. I have a hard time believing Oakland can keep up.
I think Patriots fans need to keep an eye on the Chiefs because they're the only team right now that holds that kind of a tiebreaker over the Patriots. So you got to hope that they stumble somewhere and that the Patriots don't stumble. Just kind of to keep an eye on here with 5-6 weeks left in the season. I normally wouldn't have gone to this game, but because one team is a half game out of first and another one is in first, I figured I should play it some mind. It's Cleveland at Atlanta. Strange to say that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as I was just writing, and by the way, you can now find Pro Football Guru on sportsblog.com.
Woo!
As well as tumblr.com.
All right.
I have offshoots, and we're doing our Matter of Fact column now on Sportsblog. But as I was writing today, how funny is it that you can be 6-4 and last place in your division?
And 4-6 and in first.
For first.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
You know, I mean, in Atlanta, you know, if you look at the simple formula, Cleveland should win this game because Atlanta's 4-0 in the division and 0-6 outside the division.
Right.
But what to make of Cleveland? And I think it's now been twice, John, that we've got probably excited about them, only for them to go from looking like a playoff contender to making an omelet, as in breaking a few eggs, okay?
Right.
They blow out Pittsburgh about a month ago and then come to Jacksonville and awful, 24-6. A week and a half ago, or I should say 2 weeks ago from tonight, wouldn't it be?
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati, 24-3, convincing. And then come home against the Houston Texans. Not that Houston's a bad team, but Houston and Ryan Mallett starting its very first game. Alfred Blue in place of Arian Foster. And they humbled the Browns in Cleveland 23-7. So what to make of the Browns, it's kind of hard to figure. I know their offense and Hoyer, I think Hoyer was 20 of 50 last week, which means he threw 30 incompletions. But more so, their run defense, and they don't have Phil Taylor there anymore right now. Their run defense has been pretty dreadful for the last month or so. They just let Ben Tate go, so I think they feel good about their running game. Atlanta doesn't offer much as far as a pass rush, but I think the Falcons feel like they've kind of gotten away with one for the last 9 or 10 weeks. And now maybe they make a push and they actually win the NFC South.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning toward that myself because I'm stunned that the Saints haven't been able to take advantage of the competition. And it's kind of opened the door back up for the Falcons, who were thought to be a contender before the year started, and and maybe some people in Atlanta saving jobs. You never know. Let's jump into the deep snow with the Bills and the Jets and the division, only because it clearly is the story within the story, in this week 12 of the NFL season, with 4 to 6 feet of snow that's blanketed Buffalo, and they're expecting, you know, maybe a couple of more feet before all is said and done, with the snowstorm. There's a very real chance that this game won't be played on Sunday, although nothing as of this moment that you and I are speaking at 3:20 Eastern time on a Thursday, nothing has been said yet, but if you're listening to this on a podcast, and quite frankly, it's probable that a decision has been rendered one way or the other. That being said, the Bills need to do whatever they can to give themselves an advantage, because a loss here to a 2-8 Jets team almost assuredly is going to blow up their chances, slim as they may be on the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the AFC is, you know, they're stacked and they're super stacked. And we're, you know, 11 weeks into the season, and there are not only 10 teams in the AFC that are above 500. You have Houston and Buffalo, they're both 5-5. So that tells you we have four basically really dreadful teams in the conference, and everybody else is in the playoff picture. I mean, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Oakland, and the Jets all have at least 8 losses. So, you know, safe to say they're not going to the playoffs just because of the records of everyone else. But the Bills, who already beat the Jets earlier this year, need to win as many divisional games as possible. And for the Bills to then turn around and lose to the Jets at home, it would really kind of derail the... Listen, it wasn't too long ago. They were 5-3 and looking decent. And, you know, obviously had trouble with the Chiefs, couldn't score a touchdown against the Dolphins. And I get a sneaking suspicion, regardless of when this game is played, that they're going to have more trouble with the Jets than they thought, and I think the Jets are going to put a big crimp into their plans.
Yeah. Wow. So you kind of like the Jets here.
Yeah, I think more because I think the Jets are still playing hard. I know some people point to the end of the quarterback. I don't think it has anything to do with the quarterback. to be honest with you. I mean, Michael Mick made some plays against the Steelers. The Jets didn't play that last week, obviously. But defensively, I think they're still bringing it. And Buffalo's offense has been stagnant for most of the year. It's funny because Kyle Wharton threw four touchdown passes against the Jets when they played down at MetLife Stadium, but that seems to have been the peak moment for them. Their offense didn't do anything against Kansas City. We already mentioned what they did against the Dolphins, three field goals. They seem to be in a little bit of an offensive slump. It could be one of those games where they get five or six sacks of Michael Vick, but I don't think they get the win.
All right. Elsewhere in the division, you know, the Miami Dolphins, in an effort to try to keep pace with the Patriots and two games back now, they get the unenviable task of going on the road to play the Denver Broncos. And I can't figure out if the Broncos stubbed their toe last week against St. Louis. I can't figure out if the Broncos are trending the wrong direction or these, you know, last week was just a bump in the road.
Well, they've lost two of their last three games. Their running game is non-existent right now. You know, Ronnie Hillman hurt. Monty Ball, I think, might be out for the year. C.J. Anderson, you know, trying to fill that gap. The Broncos, the one area they didn't get better in from last year was running the football. Now, you know, you throw in the fact that they're a little more one-dimensional than they wanted to be this year. Emmanuel Sanders gets knocked out of the game last week. Julius Thomas gets hurt. And all of a sudden, Peyton Manning is down some key weapons. And, you know, he hasn't been sharp the last couple of weeks. I know he threw five touchdown passes in the win over the Raiders 3 weeks in a row. You know, he's got the Noah's Ark going thing. A pair of interceptions.
Yeah.
And if you watch the game at St. Louis, didn't look like he had a lot of zip on the football. I think Miami comes after him. It's hard to sack Peyton. But I think Denver finds a way to get this done because the one thing about them is their defense has still played pretty well. But right now, the Denver Broncos remind me of the latter year of Peyton with the Colts. No running game, asking Peyton to get the lead, and then now, instead of turning loose Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis, they have to turn loose Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware.
Yes, they do. All right, so you've got the Dolphins and the Broncos will be a game that a lot of folks will be watching, and I wonder if there will be a lot of attention as well paid on the NFC side with the Cardinals playing at the Seahawks and what kind of a team Seattle really has, and is this a true test of what Arizona may be showing us right now through 9-1 after 10 weeks? I mean, you could say easily that this could be the game of the week. With all due respect to the Patriots and Lions and some of the others that are playing, Arizona really gets a chance to test its mettle playing in Seattle this week, don't they?
Yeah, and it's funny. If you remember, the Cardinals went up to Seattle and won last year, 17-10. And it's almost the kind of game that epitomizes what these Cardinals have been about for the last year or so. First off, now 16-3. In their last 19 games going back to last year. And, you know, wow. As we discussed last week, you know, people, for lack of a better word, almost up in arms. Oh, my goodness, can Drew Stanton get the Cardinals to the Super Bowl? Well, I'll say it again. I didn't know that Carson Palmer was the reason the Cardinals were what they were. This has been a team effort. This has been a lot of Bruce Arians pushing the right buttons. This has been a team that it's not great on offense, not great on defense, and not great on special teams, but very good in all three of them. Completely balanced, finding ways to win. And again, you go back and look at what they did in Seattle last year, beat the Seahawks 17-10. What's the thing that stands out most about that game? Carson Palmer threw four picks, and they still won the game in mm-hmm. Seattle. Now think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because they find other ways to win. They're not quarterback-driven. But this week, I mean, listen, this is the NFC West we've been waiting for all year. 6 weeks to go. Seattle has five divisional games left in the closing six weeks of the season, which is crazy. And by the way, their non-divisional game, a cross-country jaunt to play the Philadelphia Eagles, so they've got their work cut out for them. They get the Cardinals this week, and then on Thanksgiving, they go to San Francisco. So we're going to learn a lot about the defending Super Bowl champions. Meanwhile, Arizona has four divisional games in the last 6 weeks, including both with Seattle. And I think they have a game with Kansas City in there as well.
Yeah.
So this is how the NFC West is going to be won, and this is why the San Francisco 49ers are smack dab right in the middle of it as well. It's going to be an amazing stretch run for the division. And I, you know, just based on the fact of desperation more than anything else, I got to lean with Seattle at home. And I don't know what the future holds for them. They've backed themselves into a pretty big corner in terms of making the playoffs. It's going to be, you know, they're going to earn it if they get back in. And listen, the Cardinals' offensive line is playing well. They run the ball well. But I think they need to run the ball better, and they may get that opportunity. I mean, you look at Seattle's run defense, it's almost frightening what has happened to it. Last week, the Chiefs didn't even have the ball that much and still were able to run for 180 yards on Seattle's defense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
So I'm leaning Seattle in the first of this, you know, like I said, this mind-boggling stretch for Pete Carroll's team.
Yeah, it is a good stretch. Next week's Patriot opponent will be at Green Bay, and of course, the Packers this week are on the road at Minnesota. Any chance at all they're looking ahead to what they have at home coming up next week?
No, because they still have, the only thing they're looking ahead to is the fact that they lost to the Lions back in week 3. And tiebreaker-wise, that's the only thing that's keeping them out of first place. So they can't afford to stumble on the road against a divisional team. And it was interesting last week, you know, for the Vikings who, you know, Mike Zimmer's done a decent job with them on defense, especially with the pass rush, which is probably not a total shock. But last week the Vikings didn't sack Jay Cutler, which probably surprised a lot of people. Offensively, they've been a little up and down. I know they just not added Ben Tate to bring a little depth to the running game. The Packers are, listen, the Packers have lost 3 games this year. They've all been double digits and they've all been on the road. And they beat this team. Now, what's going to be interesting is Green Bay did not see Teddy Bridgewater the first time these teams played on a Thursday back in early October. It was Christian Ponder because Bridgewater had gotten hurt. So it'll be interesting to see how they did. In the last couple of years, Dom Capers' defense has had some issues with some of the mobile quarterbacks in the league, in particular Colin Kaepernick. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, he always seems to beat them, especially with his feet as much as his arm. But I just think Green Bay's defense is starting to come into his own. How about Julius Peppers this year? I think he has 2 pick sixes.
Yeah, right.
You know, making that transition from everybody's worried about that transition from defensive end.
He's done pretty well.
Outside linebacker.
Yeah.
What nobody realizes as a defensive end before he got to Green Bay, this is a defensive end that already had 9 career interceptions. So, you know, it's quite the resume for Julius Peppers. Green Bay defense is playing better, but again, they're on the road. But I just don't think Minnesota has the firepower to keep up here.
All right, well then let's go ahead and look at the Pats and the Lions. Then on Sunday here at Gillette, the Lions are kind of through what at least halfway through anyway. What looks to be a pretty demanding 2-week road stretch. They had to play at Arizona last week. Pretty good defense in their own right, and only scored 6 points. Couldn't get into the end zone. Now they got to come to New England. And while New England's defense statistically doesn't appear to be the match of Arizona or half the league right now, they do have to face Tom Brady and an offense that has pummeled people to the tune of 40 points per game over the last 6 weeks. And yet, the Lions have the number 1 ranked statistical defense in the NFL. So it's the whole irresistible force against the whole immovable object type of thing this week.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, you know, that's been the pride and joy of Detroit this year. Number 1 overall defense, number 1 against the run. But the you look at what New England's done on the scoreboard the last 6 weeks. They've scored more points in their last 6 games than the Lions have scored in 10 games this year. I think Detroit's averaging something like 18.5 points per game.
Right.
And I know some of that is brought on by the fact of no Calvin Johnson and at times no Reggie Bush. So I certainly understand that. But this is a team last week gave up 2 quick touchdowns to the Cardinals. Defensively, they shut them out the rest of the game, but they only could manage a couple of field goals. And I don't think this is going to be a Jonas Gray type of day.
No.
Okay? This will be a Tom Brady type of day. By the way, how good is Jonas Gray? The guy gets 2 more yards when he's not even playing.
Isn't that awesome? They found 2 more yards that they had mistakenly taken away from him on a penalty or something. And at least that's what they say, wink, wink.
With other players' mistakes and different like that.
Yeah.
To me, it's just, in this instance, it's just gray matter. That's all.
Well, I like to say, and I wrote about it this week, that the opponents, the Colts last week, had 38 shades of gray delivered to them.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Listen, we remember what happened last year in the playoffs. Only they did it with LeGarrette Blount against the Colts. This time they did it with Jonas Gray. It's great game planning by the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and you know. But this will be a different game plan. Okay, when you're going against the Lions, it is a different game plan. And I get the funny feeling this is not going to be New England blowing anyone out at home. I think they win decisively. The name Brandon LaFell sticks out to me for this game.
Okay.
Not that he's going to go hog wild, but I think he'll be the guy instead of Michael Floyd who burns the Lions for a couple of touchdowns. And I think it's a fairly conservative win because the Lions have not given up a lot of points to anybody this year. I think the max right off the top of my head is 24. So I'm looking at something like New England 23, Lions 14, I think.
Yeah,
I think that's the score I put on my blog.
Yeah, I think that the score that I've been leaning toward all day, and I've been hesitant because it's a little bit more of a traditional score since we do our own little prediction Thursday contest here, but I'm leaning to 23-17 Patriots.
Right, okay. Yeah, it's going to be that kind of a game. I think. Listen, the way the Lions play defense, that defensive style and their consistency, that's not a home field advantage thing. They've gone on the road and done that as well. And I think they'll come up big defensively, but just not big enough. And offensively, I just think they're limited right now. And listen, Calvin Johnson will get his opportunity or two. And maybe both Darrell Revis and Brandon Brown are get a crack at him.
I think that they will.
You know Calvin's good for one or two spectacular plays.
Oh, sure.
I don't know on a steady basis if Detroit can move the floor. And listen, Matthew Stafford, for whatever reason, be it the injuries or the style what they play right now, has not been off the charts like we have seen him in previous years. The one aspect about the Lions is they've given a bunch of more sacks than they did all of last season. So that's, you know, it's been very erratic offensive year for the Lions. And defensively, again, you know, they've also given up the fewest points per game in the league. So it's a great matchup, but like you said, the irresistible force and the immovable object. But the object's going to move a little. Not a lot, but enough for the Patriots to win by, I think, 9 points.
Quick thought, Russell, on the Patriots picking up LeGarrette Blount from Pittsburgh?
Well, it's funny because Mike Tomlin and the Steelers were pretty blunt when it came to LeGarrette.
Sure was.
So on. And we, for whatever reason, we saw an epidemic of that last week where, you know, players either cut or let go for various reasons.
Right.
Ben Tate, Jason Avant, I guess,
Jason
was unhappy.
Avant. Yep.
You know, I guess I want to be alone now. So
but,
I think I stole that from somebody.
Yeah, I think
it's a guy they're familiar with. I don't know the whole inside story in Pittsburgh was going on. I'm sure it was more than just him walking off the field. It had more to do with it if you read between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
But it brings them depth. It brings them someone who knows their system. It brings somebody who performed well. And the beauty you get with LeGarrette Blount is the fact that here's a big guy who can be a workhorse running back. You don't often see those kind of guys also able to excel on special teams.
True. And he does, and he has in the past,
I mean,
right?
I know you remember not only what he did to the Bills in the season finale last year, but what he did to him as a kickoff returner in that game as well.
Right, right.
So, but boy, for selfish reasons, I hope both New England and Green Bay win this week because, boy, is that going to be fun.
That'll be a game that we'll get a great appetizer on Thursday, and then that'll be a game that the entire league will say, oh, super preview, you know it's coming.
Absolutely.
Russell, enjoy the holiday, my man, with your family.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy Washington, D.C.
Kevin and everybody you know, involved with the show and Patriots.com and all the people who are very kind of retweeting and all the different things. And enjoy your families, enjoy your funds. And just remember, when you think about all those leftovers, think of me.
You're anything but leftovers. You're the main course, baby.
Hey, I like to eat. What are you going to say? You got to bulk up. I'm bulking up for the stretch.
That's right. We're all bulking up for the wintertime around here. All right, Russell, safe travels. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
You got it, John.
Thanks. Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru, ProFootballGuru.com. Find him in a lot of different places on the web. Just search, just Google Pro Football Guru. You'll find him. He's there if you want more from Russell Baxter, but he's in the playbook here every Thursday. Won't be next week because, of course, next Thursday is Thanksgiving. And if you hadn't already figured it out, we're taking the day off next Thursday while you watch football. We're going to be enjoying Thanksgiving with our families here. We will be here, however, next Tuesday and Wednesday. At least, to my knowledge, we'll be here on Wednesday. So that's the call, at least for next week. So we'll try to cram 3 days worth of shows into 2 days next week, talk about the Green Bay Packers. But that, of course, is next week. All right, got a ton of emails and some Facebook posts and stuff to get to. Don't forget, 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster, Twitter, John.Rook, Facebook, for your score predictions on hashtag Prediction Thursday. Rob from Ormond Beach, Florida on Facebook says this week will be the best offensive performance of the season. Just flat out says it. Tom and friends are going to pass the ball 50-plus times with Gronk catching 12 for 190 and 4 touchdowns. Woohoo! You smoke a little bit of that with LeGarrette's passing around there, buddy? This game right here will definitely be the one that strikes fear into the rest of the NFL. Pats 49, Lions 16. Good stuff. I like it. I like bold predictions. Mary Beth says 30-17, Pats. Of course, your show gets me through the afternoon Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Thanks, John. Thanks, guests. Thank you, Mary Beth, for being a loyal listener to the program. All right, also on Facebook, Noe says, John, I'm very happy to have Blunt back. I was disappointed we let him go in the first place. I'm surprised we got him, though, due to Gray's success, but I'll take him because I know he'll come in and run hard when his number's called. My prediction is Patriots 40, Lions 24. Michael in Texas says, Patriots 28-20. The defense keeps up on their end, and they get to Stafford through coverage sacks, and Gronk will be Gronk. All right, very good. Belarco in Los Angeles will win 23-13. Gostkowski will be kicking some clutch field goals while Prater will miss one. Stafford will throw three INTs, trying to force the ball to his weapons. You know, that's actually a likely scenario, Belarco. I think you're kind of spot on there. All right. Adam says, loss comes next week. Oh, you're going to jump ahead of the gun here. Adam in San Antonio says, Patriots win this week, 34-23. Chris says, Patriots 42-17. And I read your message earlier. Thank you, Chris. Onique says on Facebook, John, glad to see the Pats picked up Blunt, which gives us another reliable heavy-duty back. Didn't really like what happened with him and Bell during the preseason, however. He should get a chance to prove himself and the Patriots organization, nor Bill will he tolerate any future instances. Hope he works out here like he did last year and gives us good depth at running back. My prediction for this weekend's game, Pats 34, Lions 17. Defensive front will give us a tough matchup, and our running game won't be as good as last week, but I think the offensive line will help Tom and give him some time. The defense will play well, limit Stafford and company from getting big plays. Dave says, JR, while we're facing the back end of the gauntlet over the next 3 weeks, and that's a good point, Dave. We do want to bring that out. This is the second half of the six-week, six-game gauntlet. We're talking about the Patriots running through, and they've kind of, like, you know, bulldozed their way through the first three, right? Is this the meat of the schedule right here, right now? We really haven't dwelled on that too much because we've sort of been blinded, I think, by the blinding light that the Patriots offense has put on the scoreboard over the last 3 weeks. This is supposed to be the gauntlet starting this week with a Lions defense that's number one in the NFL, kids. Glad you brought that up, Dave. I think this is our last opportunity, he says, to continue to gain momentum before heading onto the road. And game momentum is exactly what I think we'll do. I think we're going to take a stab at establishing that run game we had in Indy. I expect to see Gray and Blunt in the game. Solid play action, especially in the second half. I think we start out close, and then we take off in the second. He says 34-17 Pats. So back-to-back 34-17 predictions. Okay. What else do we have here? Ramon. Oh, he just liked the, there we go. Paul's prediction on playbook, Facebook was, I predict that your friends in the, from the UK Pats will enjoy our annual road trip game and will celebrate a 31-20 victory. Go Pats. Thank you, Paul. And I hope that you are correct. I hope that you're correct. I didn't realize the guys were coming this week. Is it this week, Kevin? The UK Pats are coming this week? We usually hear from those guys beforehand.
Yeah, I think they're coming this week.
Okay. They usually come in studio. I guess they're just not coming in until tomorrow or Saturday, huh? Because last couple of years they've been here early, come in studio and chat for a spell. Well, that's all right. Guys, safe travels. safe travels. Hope you make it over here in one piece, and you're able to have some fun and enjoy a W. Christopher on Facebook says, Patriots 35, Lions 17. Nori has Pats 41, Lions 23. Lions will get a couple of garbage TDs in the fourth. The Pats will be leading 41-9 with about 10 minutes left in the game. He says Megatron will be contained. Tate will have a productive day but won't mean anything as the Lions will only score field goals for three quarters. Yikes. Oh, Ramon, here's your prediction. He says, I believe the Patriots will win 28-24 in a match that will be both entertaining and scary. Oh, no doubt about that, brother. No doubt about that. All right, good picks there. Now let's get to a ton of emails. As you can imagine, tons and tons and tons and tons and tons. I want to start with a couple of them, though, that were carried over from before. Steve from Connecticut says, guys, Blunt was a good player when he was here, popular among his teammates. It's a good depth move, but all that doesn't change the fact that he quit on his previous team and his incident earlier in the season with a wacky tobacco. Not sure on this move. You know, that's fair. I think everybody kind of falls in line when, you know, Emperor Bill decides to, you know, bring somebody in like he has in this instance. And I say that, of course, joshingly, jokingly, lovingly, whatever. But the fact of the matter is that I'm glad somebody's still kind of questioning it. Because even though largely yesterday I supported the move because of depth purposes, listen, it tells me that the situation's already taken care of itself. Because there's no way that the Patriots, no way, Steve, no way that the Patriots bring him in if there's any doubt in their mind that he won't fall in line the way he did a year ago. So that's got to happen. And that had to be something that, you know, LeGarrette assured, you know, Bill of, that, you know, I'm not going to be a problem, not going to walk off the field if Jonas Gray's getting all the carries, blah, blah, blah. No one's going to put up with that here. Nobody. Nobody. That's the only reason he's here right now. Christian says, BB gets a lot of flack for his misses in the draft. There was a lot of talk in the first 4 weeks about how we overrated the talent and that it wasn't comparable to Denver and Seattle, but I think it's time we say definitely this team is very talented. Collins and Hightower are looking like studs, one of the better linebacker duos in the league. Gronk has been dominant. McCourty's been a Pro Bowl safety. Stork has solidified the line. Even Easley has started to come on. BB has built a contender. Even the questionable moves like paying LaFell, Arrington, trading Mankins, they look genius in retrospect as the offense continues to not miss a beat post-KC. Okay, good rant. Tony says, I saw an episode of American Muscle this summer, a reality show about a gym where football players work out. Sue visited, nose tackle, incredible muscle mass, was also ripped to shreds, talking trash about how he was much stronger than Sue, this guy on the show was, and that Sue was nothing. Sue, not as ripped as he strolls in, is challenged to do a clean lift of 315 pounds. Well, he rolls his eyes, casually cleans the weight, disdainfully drops the bar and walks away. Tough guy nose tackle, snorting with his angry face, tries to lift it but can't control the bar. As impressive an example of pure strength by Sue as I have ever seen. And I'm sure you can reckon that he's going to try to throw around an offensive lineman or two on Sunday, kind of like that 315-pound clean lift that he did on that particular show. I think that's what worries a lot of people, if you have any worries at all, about the Detroit Lions. Walter from North Carolina. I think Blunt is a depth and being ahead of the offseason move. While White as a Vereen backup, if he doesn't take a cheap deal, Gaffney is a rookie cheaper workhorse, Ridley's replacement. They can worry about winning this year and not worry about the offseason moves to stay in a winning era. They can also account ahead of time for what they can do for the players they do and they don't want on the team. So allows them to attack the draft and free agency with a force. And well, there certainly is a little more. There's still more choices that can be made with both, you know, you have Ridley, Vereen, and Bolden. All three are free agents in the offseason. So I think they can certainly deal, I think, from a position of strength with those guys in terms of if they want to re-up here, what they can go out and get. Dave in New York says, how amazing how before signing the majority of New England fans were not up for signing Blunt. Now when Belichick has signed him, everyone's agreeing to the move. Yeah, I saw this. He sent a screenshot of Sports Nation, ESPN Sports Nation. Before the signing, 40% Patriots fans were for it. 60% were against it. Almost 20,000 votes, by the way, on ESPN Sports Nation. After the signing, 78% of the fans say great move. 22% say not necessary, bad move. In Bill we trust, right, Dave? In Bill we trust. Corey in Chicago. Sorry we've already talked about this, but I've yet to listen to yesterday or today's show, but who do you predict will match up Johnson and Tate? Do you think Revis will be on Tate because Browner would have a tough time in a small body? Well, I think they'll mix and match. I definitely think they're going to give a chance to have Revis match up with Megatron. I mean, how can you not? It's a marquee matchup. It's what people are going to tune into the game for if they're watching outside of New England and Detroit, as far as I'm concerned. That's huge. So I think that's got to happen, but I also think they'll switch up, and I think they'll kind of mix and match, and I think they'll throw different looks at the Lions defensively. As I said earlier in the show, not dissimilar to what we saw the Patriots come up with in their game plans against both Denver and last week against Indianapolis. Okay, let's see. What else we have? We've got picks now. Glenn says from Ottawa, he says 34-16 for the Pats. Tim in PA says prediction Pats win 38-21. Randy from New Orleans, no score, but he says, I feel that Gray should keep his starting spot. He's earned it. If Blunt will be anything, he'll be the complimentary guy to Gray. Awesome 1-2 punch. Not arguing with that one. Michael says, John, I think LeGarrette Blount signing was phenomenal. Our backfield is full of monsters now. Nobody's going to be able to stop us. Arizona, here we come. As far as my prediction, 45-10. Patriots. Chad says, Pats 48, Lions 13. Ooh. Luke says, Patriots 42, Lions 16. Another Chad says, Patriots, 38-21. Matt says, John, I believe the Patriots can and will win this one out of the gate. Secondary will hold Megatron and Golden Tate to less than 100 yards each. The defense will keep the offense under control, especially in the red zone. 37-17, Patriots. Whew. These scores are a little surprising. What else do we have? Evan, Patriots 34, Lions 20. Okay. Yep, Evan from Texas, 34-20. Got it, Evan. Gustavo, let's see, let the haters hate. That means you elevate. For my predictions, the Pats will try to establish the run, getting very little success in the first half, making them use the hurry-up offense, gassing Detroit's defense. He says, Patriots roll 44-20. Jeff and Cali, John, just one fact needed for this game. Stafford has never won a game on the road against a team above 500. That's a good one. I saw that late in the day yesterday and meant to mention that. I'm glad you brought it up, Jeff. Revis and Browner are better than Cromartie and Peterson going against Megatron and Tate. I can't see Detroit scoring very much. Pats 34, Lions 17. Max in San Diego. Pats win 45-14. Minitron gets all the spark and transforms. Gronk smashes. Our defense makes the receivers look like fairies, and Superman cooks the Lions secondary. Max, he's the man. Oh, my goodness. Drew, he's got a close one here. Drew says, TDs for Gray, Blunt, Gronk, Edelman, long field goal before the half, Pats 31, Lions 20, and Clinton, son of Drew and Bowie, love how they do this every week, Pats 37, Lions 36. Woo! G4 Driver, 31-17. Patriots. And Howard in Stratford, Connecticut gets the last word. 34-17, Patriots over the Lions. It's going to be a good one, kids. It's going to be a good one. I want to wrap up a little differently today because we don't really get a chance to hear a lot of the interviews in total on the show because, quite frankly, you guys dominate. And you know what? I'm happy to have that done. But because this is a special game and because this is the back end kind of this gauntlet we've been talking about over 6 week stretch for the Patriots, I mean, this is truly a swing game. They can send a message, another one, to the entire NFL based on what they do against the number one rated defense overall. Is this offense, is this team as good as we think it can be? Going to hear from Tom Brady coming up. Make sure that you're right back here in the playbook for an abbreviated version next Tuesday and Wednesday before the holiday on Thursday. So we have a lot of stuff to cram into. Nitpick Tuesday, though, on Tuesday following the Patriots and the Lions. Let's get to Tom Brady.
not playing? Am I the only one not hearing it?
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Is this thing
apparently
on?
Not.
Wow. It didn't play. Are we still on, Kev?
No, we're still on.
Oh, okay.
Just I want to... It's playing. It's just I don't get why you don't hear anything.
Oh, okay. Well, best laid plans. I like that. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. What can I tell you? Okay. Well,
I'll try it again.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm sure we can, you know, continue down that road. This is what happens when we try to do something different. It's kind of like, what? What are you doing? You're doing something different? Wow. Okay.
Apparently we're going to have to restart the computer.
Okay. Then you go right ahead. Patriots 49, Lions 24. Robert on Facebook says that one. 49-24 is the score that he has. Did I get everybody on Twitter? I think that I did. I think I said, yep, 23-21 there. My score prediction, as I mentioned, in case you missed it, I'm calling 23-17 for the Patriots over the Lions. I have the Lions. I think the spread is 7. I have the Lions covering just slightly. I'm concerned overall about...
I think it's actually 6.5 even.
Is it 6.5 now?
So you're real close to that.
I am right on the line then. I'm right on the line. I'm a little concerned overall about the Patriots moving the football against that Lions front 7. I think that's strong. I watched that whole game, and even though I was a little surprised that, you know, they didn't beat Arizona, I was very impressed with what they did in the second half and shut them down. They gave up a couple of early scores. And I think that a huge key for Sunday will be, again, getting a jump on them, not giving them the opportunity to think, hey, you know what, we can actually win this football game. That's kind of how I'm kind of looking at it. I'm not so sure that the Patriots stretch this out and then Detroit catches up as much as the Patriots have to kick a field goal late to make it, you know, at least a 6-point game. That's what I'm thinking that will probably end up happening. Patriots score late and make Detroit have to get in the end zone to win it. No, Prashant, I did not miss your prediction. I did give it out earlier. Perhaps you missed it, but I did say 34-24 for the Patriots, which is what you said. And I did mention that because you have a name that's just very hard to forget. But I did say that, and thank you for resending it. You the man. What else is there? Let me see if I've got anything else here. I got that. I got this. I think I got all this. Got a couple of things that we'll leave for the fantasy football guys coming up in about 5 minutes.
You're trying to get your Tom back, too.
You're trying to get me Tom back, too? That's okay. Best laid plans. Like I said, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Gabe, what did he say? Oh, yeah, he's got Pats 33, Lions 17. Put that one out. A lot of last-second scores trying to come in here so we can hold on and squeeze in as many of them as we possibly can. As I mentioned, next week on the show, Nitpick Tuesday, of course, on Tuesday, to kind of wrap up the Lions game, but we'll start immediately looking toward the Green Bay game because of the short week with the Thanksgiving holiday. So you definitely have that on Tuesday and Wednesday. We're also going to do something a little bit different next week. For those that don't know, my son Austin, the rookie, we refer to him as the rookie quite often here on this program. He's actually been on this show. He's sat in studio with us. We've talked a little football with him. He's pretty astute. He's a sophomore broadcast journalism major at Marquette University in Milwaukee. And he hosts a talk show every Tuesday and on the campus radio station. And it just so happens the next Tuesday, he's going to be on the air at the same time as I'm on the air here. So I thought next week what we could do is with him and his partner, his broadcast partner, I thought that what we might do is just simulcast our shows for a few minutes. What do you think of that idea, Kev?
I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, so we'll get the rookie and his partner. We'll get them to come on our program while I'm on his program simultaneously in Milwaukee next Tuesday, and we'll have some fun with it. And we'll get them to talk about the Packers because clearly everybody's, you know, ape bleep over the Packers, as you would expect them to be in Milwaukee, home away from home for the Green Bay Packers. But Austin's the one that he's kind of the shining light for Boston and New England that region because he's, you know, everybody gives him crap for being a New Englander. So in this particular instance, we'll get his expertise from his perspective on not only the Patriots, but how everybody in Wisconsin views New England and what they think the Packers can do to the Patriots next week. So that's going to come up as a little special simulcast next Tuesday here on the Playbook. So I hope that you'll tune in for that. And then we'll combine Wednesday and Thursday's show into Prediction Wednesday next week because we'll have the Thanksgiving holiday. All right, that is going to wrap it up. Don't forget, fantasy football is coming up after the top of the hour and the breaks. Enjoy the games this weekend. Should be a lot of fun.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.